Hallelujah. Good morning, guys. Y'all ready to fast? Yeah, I've seen some of you eating in the cafe. And your excuse is, we're going to fast in a few days. Hallelujah. Amen. It's going to be great. Glory. I don't see your sweater. Is she doing a good job? Pastor Judy, I can't get her to wear a Christmas sweater, so... She tried, but, you know, she just has this class about her, you know. It's ugly. It's supposed to be ugly, honey. No, I'm just kidding. I thought it was good. Huh? Well, it depends how you look at it. You know what this says? Your lack of joy is disturbing. Right? Hallelujah. So turn to the person next to you. I have a lot of joy. Do you? Glory to God. I like that outfit. You're really joyful over there. Nothing matches. Oh, Trevon. Glory to God. Can I dress in something like that next year? No. All right. I kind of like their outfits as host. I mean, those sparkly pants. I need to get a pair of those, huh? Amen. Preach in. You can really preach good in those. Hallelujah. Can anyone remember what the first week was about? What did we talk about the first week? Ugly what? All right. Ugly thoughts. What was the second week? Words. Have you all been working on that? Hallelujah. Do you find out when you start working on something, the devil kind of gets in there and tries to work his thing? Amen. But anyway, great. Praise God for the grace of God, and we're growing in the things of God. Today we're going to talk about ugly motives. Ugly motives. Hallelujah. So everyone is motivated by. Is motivated to act by specific things in life. And what we want to talk about is the root. Say the root of everything and why we do what we do. Amen? Many times we're searching for praise from people when we need to be honoring God and wanting His accolades, wanting His rewards. And so that's what I want to talk about. And as I was putting this together, you know, you find out, wow, why do I do the things that I do? Why have I done the things that I've done in the past? What has been the motivation behind even good things that has been done? And if you think about that, it causes us to take thought with every action that we do to make sure that we have the right perspective and the right reasoning behind or the purpose why we're doing what we do. Amen, for the glory of God. Because our motives can taint even good actions. Huh? Okay. For instance, I heard this preacher talking about kind of along this line, and he was talking about Christmas time, and none of you husbands have probably done this, or wives, but giving a gift to your spouse that will benefit you instead of them. Huh? Anybody do that? Yeah. Well, this husband actually bought his wife a air fryer. And wrapped it up all pretty and everything else. It will be the best gift. So Christmas morning came along, and they decided, you know, it's time to exchange gifts. So she opens her gift, and reluctantly she just tried to put a smile on her face. And the husband says, honey, do you like it? And she said, you know, just couldn't get it out, you know, like, I love this gift, man. The husband said, but honey, you can cook me some good food in that air fryer. Like giving your wife a vacuum cleaner. You can do those floors and keep them clean. Glory to God. So we have to think about giving gifts or whatever, are we giving them for us, or are we really giving them to bless the person that, you know, giving them something that they want and that they desire? So much selfishness that goes along, right? So what is the underlying motive behind what we do? Let's look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And Jesus tells us to examine our motives. This is pretty powerful. And it talks about fasting. Pastor Judy introduced our 21 days of fasting beginning of the first of the year. But here Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount, says this in the Passion Translation. Examine your motives to make sure you're not showing off when you do your good deeds. You can't put it any more plainer than that. Examine your motives to make sure you're not showing off when you do your good deeds, only to be admired by others. Otherwise, you will lose the reward of your heavenly Father. And he gives some examples here. So when you give to the poor, how many of you believe that giving to the poor is important? It's a good thing, right? So it's a good deed. But it can be tainted by the motive behind you giving to the poor. And Jesus brings this out. He uses three different illustrations. One is giving to the poor. So when you give to the poor, don't announce it and make a show of it just to be seen by people. Like the hypocrites in the streets and in the marketplace. They've already received their reward. But when you demonstrate generosity, do it with a pure motive and without drawing attention to yourself. I like verse 4. Okay? Give secretly, and your Father who sees all you do will reward you openly. Amen. Isn't it better to be rewarded by the Lord than be applauded by men? Amen. By what we do. So we want pure motives this Christmas season and beyond. Okay? Now, verse 5, he deals with another subject, prayer. All right? It says, when you pray, be sincere and not like the pretenders who love the attention that they receive while praying before others. Have you ever been around people that just like to kind of show off and pray and have a word for everybody and just, you know, I mean, just what is the purpose in their attitudes or whatever? Are they ministering to people because of out of love for God and praying and whatever they're doing at that time? Or are they doing it to receive accolades or look at me or how spiritual I am? We have to all watch ourselves in this because we can just scoot over in that area, that arena, really quick. Right? To be seen of people. So-and-so's here. Just walked in. And that makes my action a little bit different. Amen? That's why like I'm preaching to 10 people or preaching to 100 people or 1,000 people. Right? We should do our best when there's one person in the service. Okay? I'm just saying that. Or singing or whatever we do. And I know a lot of times the worship team gets up here. And I know it's exciting to sing to a full church of people versus two or three people scattered through the congregation. But to us, we shouldn't be singing to them. We should be singing to God. And so sometimes we have to say self. Let's get the right attitude here. Let's praise God. Come on, angels, praise God with us. And let's worship God. Whether, you know, this place is full of angels anyway. Hallelujah. So our motivation. So when you pray, go into your innermost chamber and be alone with the Father God, praying to him in secret, and your Father who sees all you do will reward you openly. Hallelujah. Third thing, when we fast. And I just want to clarify this. We're doing a church-wide fast, so it isn't something that we're not going to know each other's doing. Okay? We're going to be fasting for 21 days. So this is not a kind of fast. In the Bible, there's individual fast, and this is really what, you know, Jesus is talking about here. And then there's corporate fast, where a whole nation is called to fast before God. But, you know, why do we fast? Verse 16. When you fast, don't look gloomy and pretend to be spiritual. Now, you know, it's something we need to watch for our 21 days. Boy, I fasted What did you fast? Well, you know, bless God, I fasted. Just drunk water. How did you fast? Well, I'm a Daniel fast. Let's not judge our types of fasting. Amen? No matter what you decide to fast, you're fasting unto the Lord. Glory to God. And don't go, look at me. I'm just on a liquid fast. You know, I'm not going to take it. You know, just you got your reward right there. Amen? That's what Jesus is looking at. Don't look gloomy and pretend to be spiritual. They want everyone to know they're fasting. So they appear in public looking miserable and disabled. Glory to God. Well, I'll tell you, man, think about that. All right. Let's look at, okay, that's it. Believe me, they've already received their reward, the last statement. See, what Jesus was speaking to a group of people who were into themselves. Say, into themselves. Do you know anybody that's into themselves? Raise your hand. Come on, everybody has that problem a little bit. All right, you're into yourself. But Jesus, you notice, was interested not in what they did or how much money they give or how much they prayed or how much they fasted. He was looking at the heart. He was looking at the motives behind it. Amen? Giving is good. Praying is good. Fasting is good. Amen? But doing the right thing for the wrong reason is wrong. Okay? We have to watch our motives. Ugly motives can nullify our witness. Amen? Ugly motives can nullify our witness. Praise God. Amen. For instance, growing up in church, now we don't have this problem around here, but, you know, how many of you have been in churches where people were so into themselves that when a building program would begin or whatever, they'd want their name placard put on the pew that they donated or the stained glass window that they donated or on the wall somewhere where everybody can note it that they donated $1,000, $10,000 or whatever. Make a big deal. See, they've received their reward. But if they gave it anonymously without anybody knowing, guess who they get their reward from? God. Isn't that awesome? And there's nothing wrong with recognition. But a lot of times we want recognition for the wrong reason. We'd love to recognize you folks, our workers and everybody. And most of you are not doing it to be seen. You're not doing it to please Pastor Ed and Judy. I hope you're not. I hope you're doing it to please the Lord. Amen. Whatever you do. And we appreciate that. And let me tell you, God appreciates it even more. Every moment, all the work that's gone into this, play, and hours and hours and hours that they worked even beforehand, preparing the media and all that stuff that goes on. Amen. They've done it unto the Lord. Praise God. And we're all going to receive a reward for that. Praise the Lord. Amen. So doing the right thing for the wrong reasoning can cost us our ability to grow into the person that God wants us to be. How many of you know God wants you to grow in the image of Him? Hallelujah. Now, let's look at a little bit of the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2, verse 4 through 7. Now, it says that, and the thing is, that we are to be imitators of God as dear children. Amen? Everybody knows John 3:16. For God so loved the world. God didn't send His Son because, hey, I'm God. Look at me. I'm going to sacrifice my own son on behalf of the world. So applaud, you know. No, He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So we would have an opportunity to believe on Him and have everlasting life. That's awesome. And listen, Jesus could have come into this world and stayed at the best hotel. He could have, he could have just blasted into this place and, hey, I'm the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But He didn't enter the world like that. In verse 4, it says, Joseph also went up to Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary and his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a what? A manger. Do you know what a manger smells like? It's not pretty. Come on now. You know, our manger scenes don't depict anything of what a real manger was. If you'll study that out. Because there was no room for them in the inn. So how did Jesus enter the scene? In a manger. He didn't grow up to be anybody special. He grew up and he did what he did because he loved. Say, because of love. Amen. And Jesus should be our motivation. Look at scripture in Colossians. Now, how many of you believe that people back then, a couple thousand years ago, just like us today, Paul addressed the churches? Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, it says, work hard and cheerfully at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Amen? Wouldn't that change a lot of the ways that, service nowadays is terrible? Come on, let's admit it. I mean, places are closing up one after another because they can't get help. But Paul said, work hard and do it cheerfully. Amen? Whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. See, people can disappoint you. People can treat you badly. They can rob you of the wages that you deserve. But if you are working for the Lord will pay you if you have the right heart. Amen? Glory to God. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, Paul says to the Philippian church, don't be selfish. Don't live to make a good impression on others. Don't live. Don't have a lifestyle to make a good impression on others. But be humble, thinking of others better than yourself. Don't think only about your own affairs, but be interested in others too and what they are doing. I want to challenge us to not be self-centered, to not be self-motivated, motivated, but be selfless in what we do, whether it's at church or our family or whatever. We all have to work at it. It's just human nature. That's why we have to grow in the things of God. Huh? Amen? And allow the fruit of the Spirit. 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul tells young Timothy something interesting here, the Message Bible. It says in verse 20, in a well-furnished kitchen, there are not only crystal goblets and silver platters, but waste cans and compost buckets. Some containers used to serve fine meals. Others take out the garbage. Become the kind of container God can use to present any and every kind of gift to his guest for their blessing. Isn't that powerful? God says there's different vessels. There's different, we all have different jobs. Amen? But one thing that's really not talked about, that the Bema judgment, anybody even know what that is? That is when we who are Christians, after the marriage supper of the Lamb, when we get to heaven, after the church is caught up, we're all going to stand before Jesus. In what the Greek Bema judgment, or the judgment seat of Christ to give account for the works that we have done, I believe, since we become Christians. And what are, you know, there says there's going to be those that are silver, gold, so on and so forth, or there's a group that's going to be wood, hay, and stubble. And the wood, hay, and stubble, the Bible says, is going to be burned with fire, going to burn away. So what is this all about? I think, really, if you read the context of that, it's about the motives behind what we have done in serving God. Come on. Is the love. Why did we go and work the soup kitchen? Why did we go and witness on the streets? Why did we do what we did do? Why, you know, why be in the Christmas place? So people are going to look at me and say, boy, you are an awesome Joseph, or you're an awesome Mary, or wow. Or you're doing it because, hey, I'm giving glory to God. Amen. And we need to be the best usher, the best greeter, the best whatever for the kingdom of God, for all to glorify the Lord. Amen. At the end of the day, if people have said, and I like it when you guys say, hey, Pastor, I love that message today. But you know, who do I give it to at the end of the day? God, I don't keep it. I don't keep it. We give that the accolades to God. God, thank you for using me. Thank you that I've been able to bless people by singing or preaching or whatever. But I give the glory to you. I don't keep any for myself. And that is a secret, amen, to not having an ugly motive this Christmas season. Hallelujah. Did you get anything out of that today? Makes you think about why we do what we do. Amen? We're here to give the glory to the Lord. Stand with me this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. And again, you know, if you haven't been to the Christmas play, you need to come. Bring somebody. Because it is, I would say, it's the best one yet. It's the best one yet. Hallelujah. For the glory of God. Aren't you glad you belong? You come to a church that wants to bless the community and bless the people. It takes a lot of work. And they're not doing it for the praise or anything. They all do a good job. Every actor, everybody, every part. Every part supplies. That's what it's all about. Amen? And you know who chooses to be what kind of vessel we are? We do. We do. Not God. He doesn't say, well, you're a mud pot. You're going to go over there. No, you're gold. Hallelujah. No, we choose by humbling ourselves. We humble ourselves before the Lord. It says he will exalt us. That's what it's all about. I want you to bow your head this morning. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, what an opportunity during this Christmas season when God sent his son to be born in a manger, amen, that we can honor our Heavenly Father by saying, I want to receive that Christmas gift that you gave 2,000 years ago. By receiving Jesus, we receive everlasting life. We receive hope. What did the angel say? Great joy, amen. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. And I want us to pray this prayer today. And if you haven't ever prayed and asked Jesus to come into your heart, do it. Do it from the heart. Not motivated by what Pastor Ed's up here telling me to do it, but just do it because you love God. Amen? And you want to be in his family. Pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for an opportunity to receive your son Jesus this Christmas season. Jesus went to the cross to die for my sins. And I believe that with my heart. And I confess it with my mouth. And Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior today. In Jesus' name, amen.